You're listening to the Midday Grind with Martin Kilcoyne and Charlie Marlowe on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Midday Grind on 590 The Fan, live from the Kirkwood Studios here, headquarters. Coming up 4 o'clock, don't forget, Strick Show is at Schneidhorst today. Bill Armstrong, no relation. Every press release the Blues put out, when Bill Armstrong, I think he's director of scouting, a lot of stuff with the draft, prospects, whenever they have a press release, it must be auto-typed for them now. It's just in parentheses, no relation. Because your two talent evaluators at a high level are Doug Armstrong and Bill Armstrong, no relation. Bill Armstrong's going to join Strick 4 o'clock, live from Schneidhorst today. What is it? Hockey and Cocktails, I think, is at 4 o'clock.
Somebody sent in, I'll have to read it to you off the air because I can't read it on air, a very good rhyming for Hockey and Cocktails, and I got a kick out of it.
Now my mind is racing just a bit. Cocktails and Conversation comes your way at 1 o'clock, and I think it's the Cam Jansen Show every Friday.
From Top Shooters from 2 until 4.
2 until 4. It's the Cam Jansen Show.
The hockey toughest show stuff. In the league?
Hockey and stuff, if I'm not mistaken.
Eureka and stuff.
Cards, Tigers tonight. It is a McCarver weekend, so we encourage everybody to on McCarverpedia alert.
I do have the audio of, we can play it at the end of the day, of Dan and Tim arguing about birds from in July when they were in Chicago. Oh, it's why you should root. Well, I guess you should root for Cardinal wins in general, but root for blowouts in either direction. Root for 10-0 games that allowed Dan and Tim to kind of move away from the on-field action simply because it's not all that pertinent into and then talk about any other subject. We also have an update, speaking of the Tigers, on what happened in
the fight
in
with the
booth.
Broadcasters.
Now, the Athletic walked back rhetoric. Apparently, it wasn't necessarily a full-on fight.
The Athletic's got to be careful because they're getting dinged on some of these stories where people are questioning the veracity of the entire report. You don't want to get known for that.
Apparently, what happened was there was an argument over a chair, and then I guess during a break or after the game, I believe it was Rod Allen who then came behind Mario and Pemba and grabbed them by the neck.
Wow.
And shook them.
The former player, Rod Allen.
Yes.
That's a pretty aggressive approach.
It is.
One thing to say, hey, dumbass, you stepped on my home run call. It's another thing to grab somebody from behind by the neck. It's called strangling, I believe.
I'm also wondering how nice the chair was that they were fighting over.
Are they on the call this weekend? Do we know? I'm guessing they'll sit out a little longer.
No, and unfortunately, I won't be able to watch. I have MLB.TV, but it'll be blacked out here. Here it is. WDIV in Detroit is reporting that the physical altercation involved Allen choking and Pemba from behind. Allen did this, quote, because of a disagreement over a chair in the booth.
Over a chair.
Which maybe that's just one of those things where you really hate the guy and you look for one small little detail. Like when you're in an argument over somebody or there's something simmering and they do one, like they clear their throat or they're biting their nails. And normally it wouldn't bother you because you're pissed about something totally separate. That sets you over the edge. Maybe the chair was that.
Now, as a fan at home, you would think, God, these guys got into an argument. I bet they didn't like the move. It's Gardenhire, right? Isn't Gardenhire the Tigers manager?
Yes.
Guy who kind of looks like George Karl.
Yes, yes.
Who used to coach manage the Minnesota Twins. Gardenhire, not Karl.
Nuggets.
So you would think, okay, these guys are really upset. They hated that bullpen move. They disagreed vehemently. They went for a pinch hitter, and they were arguing about that, and it just kind of carried over into the No, it was over a chair.
Must have been a nice chair. Why can't they do a nice chair?
Can I text Dan and ask if he's ever gotten into a fight?
Yes, please.
Fight over
a
chair.
Please do that.
Cards, Tigers, tonight starts Austin Gomber on the mound. You got Jack Flaherty and then John Gant. That's the weekend set. Don't forget, then Monday, on Monday night, you got Adam Wainwright making his return to the mound at Busch Stadium. Cards, Pirates, followed by 4 with the Dodgers. Cubs won last night, so the Cardinals are 5 back in the division, but they remain just a half game behind the Brewers for the National League's top wild card spot. The Rockies are the team that's really surging, taking hold. Forget the wild card, taking hold of the National League West. They have a 5-game winning streak. Dodgers are 2 behind the Cardinals currently, so that series next weekend, Thursday through Sunday, should be huge. There you go, Hoff. Clip that off. That should be huge.
Should be huge.
If you'd like to wager on sports, you have that opportunity.
Martin, you just have to go to my booking. You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win, but if you think you do know, you got to check out my bookie. I would only recommend a service to the listeners. It's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can bet on the over-under and how many fantasy points a particular player will score in any given game. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. You have to use the promo code RADIO to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code RADIO when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
And a little more housekeeping for you. On Thursday nights, Charlie Tuna goes to Schnucks and gets all the food. We do a
housekeeping
field trip Friday on
Lucas
occasion.
Lucas takes all the food.
But our good friends at Schnucks also sponsor the High School Athlete of the Week. You can vote online, 590thefan.com. Real simple. Get on there. Vote for the High School Athlete of the Week, and then you'll hear from the coaches. We'll announce the winners on this show. We appreciate Schnucks stepping up and powering the preps with that segment. High School Athlete of the Week, 590thefan.com. is where you can get involved. I believe we're going to talk to Barry Deitch. This is the executive director of the PGA Championship who had to live in our town. I don't know if that's the right phrase. He had to.
Had to live.
Doesn't that sound terrible?
Well, but Martin, with all the bad media coverage and fickle weather that he had to deal with over the last couple of years.
Somehow.
Last year.
You know, they had fickle weather during the PGA Championship, and they still had an event.
I mean, there was fickle weather at Ed Sheeran last night, and they still
Oh, yeah,
but
I was going to ask you about that. Is that part of the end of the day? Or is it
we could do it now. It was good.
Did you know going down there, this is at Busch Stadium, did you know you're not allowed to bring an umbrella into Busch ever?
I got an email on Tuesday or Wednesday from Ticketmaster or Live, whomever was putting the concert on, and it said, just a heads up, rain or shine, because there is some uncertainty about the weather,
fickle.
And you can't bring umbrellas, which actually I applaud that.
Do you know, it makes,
there's nothing more obnoxious when you're at a ball game and it starts to raining and someone in front of you opens up an umbrella.
And I understand, right, you don't want to have that person who has that massive Callaway golf umbrella. And you're like, God, I paid $100 for these tickets. I can't. And in fact, then it's a person that's older than me, and they're loosely monitoring their umbrella because I may lose an eye. So it makes sense. And the weather last night was not an issue at all.
It was perfect. It was 80 degrees or so. The wife and I hit up patios, start bar, and the wheelhouse before.
You making the rounds?
We made the rounds a little bit before we walked in. And Ed, I'm kind of. He's okay in my book. So I don't hate him. I don't love him. But he puts on a very good live show. He's an excellent live singer. What you hear on the radio is what you hear when he's on stage.
Is he British?
Yes. He's from England.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, I know that name, and I'm not being coy like, I don't know any of his stuff. I've probably heard songs
and just don't know.
Was it full?
Yes. Very good crowd. And as you said, from the concert you went to a few weeks ago, this is my first Busch Stadium concert. It's a pretty cool venue to see a concert. Though I know the grounds crew despises it.
As they should.
It's a cool, and the stage was huge, so I can get why they're bothered by it. It's a cool venue.
It's the same idea when you saw hockey at Busch. Like, oh, this is kind of fun. And when you saw a college football game at Busch, I think they've looked for opportunities. In fact, Mizzou, Illinois football, they keep talking to them. And I think the sports commission has pitched it as a Busch Stadium event. You know, they used to play it at the Dome. But I think they've been trying to get that game back up. We have a lot of things that used to happen.
Yeah, boy.
And all kidding aside about Screwfest, do you think it can be saved? Because until a week ago, it had great brand recognition, good PR. If you said Lou Fest, like, oh, great. When are they announcing the lineup? Wow, who's coming this year? What's the biggest name that's going to be part of it? It had a really good, I would say, if you did a Q rating for an event, Lou Fest would have been really high.
There was some pride behind it, I feel.
Correct.
Like, locally.
And unfortunately, the original owner, I think, sold off the rights a couple of years ago. But I think it can be saved in spite of all the jokes. Now you need somebody else clearly running it, because what happened was a mini disaster. But would you be supportive? Like in the future, though, if I tell you, hey, you got to buy your tickets now, are you weary? I don't think if everybody gets their money back, and that will be covered by the media. Even though they're to blame for this cancellation, would you be hesitant to support it in the future? I don't think so. I think if you came out and said there's new management and here's what we're doing, here's what we did. First of all, I'll say here's what we did wrong, but we love the tradition, the theme itself, a September outdoor show at Forest Park with eclectic acts.
Yes.
It's a great idea. The name is even great, Lou Fest. We got to keep this thing going. This town needs it. It's fun. I think that can happen. I don't know that it will.
I'd be concerned about how other bands would respond to it. So if you went,
that's the other part.
If you went to like Arcade Fire or the Killers or some other, because you need that big headlining band, and you said, "Hey, Lou Fest, I know." And the first question is, "Okay, but what about last year? How do we know? What's the guarantee that 3 days before the event, in the middle of the night, we're going to get an email saying, ah, never mind, not canceled. Sorry, we're broke."
Yeah, and I think it's going to make it even harder to take ownership of this event, because everybody will say, sure, we just need to get paid first.
Yes.
And then you're back where you started, which is the outlaying of money in advance. But maybe you can get some guarantors that say, let's do this. Okay, so the gut feeling, I don't think it's dead forever.
No, but I think totally new people. You need a complete refresh as to who's going to put it together. It was funny last night. My wife got a Citywide APA as her drink, and it came in a can, and it was the special edition Lou Fest can. And we're like, oh, yeah. you should keep that. That might be a keepsake.
Put it on the mantle forever.
Yes. Well, Lou Fest was promised, and it never happened.
I think our guy's going to call a little bit, so maybe we should do the end of the day a little early, which will throw everybody off, which is fine. And before we do that, I want to remind you to go to Offenburg Hyundai for your next vehicle. That includes pre-owned vehicles. So if you need a third car around the house, maybe one for the kids down at school, there's always a great selection for less than $10,000 right there on the lot. And even more than that, if you've got a car in mind, year, make, model, you let them know. Matt Offenburg, somebody on the team there, they'll find the car for you. It's that simple. They've got a full-time buyer, so they can run down that pre-owned vehicle that you happen to be in the market for. But it's great when you go out there. You'll see a Camaro, a pickup, always different types of options when it comes to pre-owned vehicles on the lot. Offenburg Hyundai. It's O'Fallon, Illinois. It's Highway 64. Get off at Greenmount Road and on the web, OffenbergHyundai.com. Great selection of pre-owned vehicles and also those sharp-looking brand-new Hyundais. Great value plus great service. That's what Offenburg Hyundai is all about.
At the end of the day.
Okay, when's the end of the day?
At the end of the day, it's going to be tough to tell someone they might not be in it.
At the end of the day, even though there's moments where you're like, I don't want to do this.
All right, so I'll lead off then with Dan and Tim. This was back in July, I think maybe July 27th or July, somewhere in late July after the All-Star break, and that 18-5 win.
I think it might, this is weird, Rain Man. I think it was the 20th.
The 20th, okay, that is Rain Man, look at you. The 18-5 win against the Cubs, eighth inning, game's out of hand. I think there's a position player on the mound. This is what transpired between Dan McLaughlin and Tim McCarver.
Now, how in the world would the Birds know they're starting to circle around Wrigley?
We've talked about that before, have we not?
Well, it's the eighth inning, and it's coming up on, you know, four and a half hour game, where some games could be 2.5 hours, and they know the eighth inning.
Yeah, but the Birds know better about rain delays and rain than we do. They can sense it. I mean, you got to understand. You know that.
I don't care about the rain delay. I'm talking about how they know in the eighth inning to come around
here. Because they know it's been a long game. This game started at 1:20.
How would they know?
It's 5 o'clock. They're birds. They're smart. They're the greatest athletes in the world.
What?
Birds are the greatest athletes in the world.
That is correct.
It's a fact, huh?
It is a fact. I don't want to get into an ornithology discussion with you, but birds are the great. Name a better athlete than a bird, than a bald eagle. Let's just say.
Secretariat.
Start with that. No. Get out of here. Birds could beat Secretariat running backwards or flying.
But you have totally missed the point. Totally missed it.
No, I haven't.
Has nothing to do with the rain delay. Has nothing to do with how athletic they are. How they know it's the eighth inning.
I'm a fair man, so why have I missed the point?
How do they know it's the eighth inning, whether it was the eighth inning in a 2.5 hour game or a 4.5 hour game?
They're not only good athletes, they're baseball fans.
I'll say it again. What is wrong with you?
And I was watching the broadcast.
How did we miss this? This is, what, 6 weeks ago?
Yeah, it's my
bad. That is gold.
Yes, I'll keep that in our archives.
I think Tim was, like, all in on his point. And then when he said, well, they're great athletes, I think Dan was like, okay, this is not a real argument at this point. They're great athletes. The greatest ever. Birds, Dan's point would be, birds might know time of day. They might know, hey, it's almost dark. Or it's middle of day.
And they there's a habit where like a quarter of the year or so, there's usually some scraps at Wrigley.
Right. So to Dan's point, they might show up every day at 4:30 or at 5 o'clock. They wouldn't show up every day in the eighth inning. I guess I don't really need to explain this for people at home. I guess you get this already. Tim was saying they know it's the eighth inning, and Dan is saying they wouldn't know. And I was waiting for Tim to say, well, they got an alert on their phone.
Tim is acting like they're like on a rooftop watching the game.
Correct.
And then like, okay,
they know it's time to pounce because the game's almost over. Dan's point is, but how do they know the game's almost over? And they should be coming at a certain time every day.
And then the eighth inning ended, and then Dan went behind Tim and grabbed his neck and started shaking.
I think the line was, what is wrong with you?
I meant to do this yesterday, Martin, because you wanted to do this, actually, a bit of a former Cardinal update. Randall Grichuk, 19 home runs, 49 runs better than an OPS plus of 110 for Toronto. He has a very Randall Grichuk line, 239 average, 298 slugging, or 298 on base, 470 slugging. That's about, if you were to give close to a full season of at-bats to Randall Grichuk, I think that's where you would peg it. 19-ish, 20-ish home runs.
Who was it? Jim Bowden or Dan Duquette? Jim Duquette, one of the Duquettes, one of the SiriusXM former GM kind of guys that was on last year, maybe with Frank, and said Randall Grichuk is the reason I would be fired as a GM.
I think it might have been Bowden, yes.
Because you see these guys, got the tools, got power, looks like he'd play running back in high school, great athlete. And you fall in love and say, these are the guys who are going to bat cleanup for me and play the next 10 years. And then you watch them strike out 1,000 times. Like, God, I was so wrong. I think at this point, there's no more surprises with Randall Bridge.
Let him miss Diaz, 17 home runs, 45 driven in, 255, 291, 447, good for an OPS plus of 102.
The fact he ended up at the All-Star game.
I know.
Aledmys Diaz.
And it made sense.
You know, he deserved to be there, but they were down on him. They had signed him. And I think it was at the end of the deal, wasn't it? Which is different from the end of the day. But he had signed like a four-year, $10 million deal, and it just wasn't really working out. And then it clicked, takes off, goes to the All-Star game, and then a year later, he's gone. It's crazy. Think about it.
Lance Lynn got off to a really good start with the Yankees and has fallen off. Kind of with the Yankees in general. They've hit a rough stretch at times. 1-2, 5.09 ERA. Lynn has allowed 19 earned runs in his last 18 and two-thirds innings pitched. He's stumbled a bit. Despite after a really good start with the Yankees, he removed the former Sonny Gray. He's the reason Sonny Gray was bumped from the rotation. They gave Lynn his spot, and now he's kind of fallen off as well. You know who hasn't? Luke Voit. 317 average, 377 on base, 651 slugging, 7 home runs for the Yankees, a 169 OPS plus. I think Yankee Stadium is a great ballpark for a guy like him to hit because he does look to go the opposite way a lot.
I also think, and Luke may go home after every game and drink a grape knee-high. I have no idea. But I think he'd be extremely popular in New York, the town of Bambino, big guy slugging. I could see him going across the street, having a couple of beers, and him just being a rock star in New York. I just think they would love that persona. Big guy, slugger. Good for him, too. Good for him. Really, they didn't have a spot for him here. Wasn't going to happen. He ends up in a great spot. Former Cardinal East would be New York. Former Cardinal North would be Toronto. Shane Robinson was on the Yankees. Is he still on the Yankees?
He was released, I believe. I think they had to make room for somebody else, so they had to designate him for assignment. Former Cardinal West, Matt Holliday, 375 average, 483 on base, 500 slugging. Now, he has 9 hits. Only one has gone for extra bases. That was admittedly a pretty cool home run against the Cardinals a couple weeks ago. But for a guy who hadn't played all year, in his late 30s, was basically just swinging in some backfield in Oklahoma up until a couple weeks ago or a month ago. To be batting 375 is pretty cool.
So, career batting average.
Oh, boy.
Remember, he retired, and wasn't he sitting at 299? A guy who'd been a 300 hitter his whole career ends up 299. We crunched the numbers. Well, should say you did one day about what it would take in a Holiday comeback to push the career tote forward to 300. I think
he's still at 299.
Is it like 299?
Let me do some quick math.
3475.
4-7.
And was that, I don't think it was a motivating factor for him, but you wonder a little bit.
2090 divided by 6.
So how many at bats so far?
Six this year?
Yeah, this
24.
Year. 24. So he's 9 for 24.
Ooh, he's close. He's at 2994.
Ooh.
He needs to get that up to a 5. Unfortunately, it's 29942. He needs to get up just a little bit. Maybe for Monday I'll have the math on what he has to do. I'll wait for the weekend to
pass. You think he knows this?
He has to. And Matt's kind of an old school baseball guy, so I'm sure it is kind of a source of pride.
Like back of your card, you want it to say 300.
Get back up to 300. I can imagine that's kind of sticking in his craw a little bit. And he's swinging the bat pretty well for, as you mentioned, a red-hot Colorado Rocky team. Martin, did you see the basketball news yesterday? Who retired? Did you see it?
Well, the other day, Ryan Howard retired from baseball, which was surprising because I thought...
He was done.
I thought he'd already retired. We were sitting at the office and said, do we put this in our show? He's Lafayette, he's a local guy, great career. And Rich Gould said, I thought he already retired. I'm like, I did too. Basketball retired. This is not Manu. That was a while ago. Is it a trick question?
Boris Diaw officially hung up his basketball shoes.
I didn't see that.
I bring this up only because it is one of my favorite basketball clips of all time from a number of years ago. Boris Diaw was a member of the Phoenix Suns back when they used to be really good. And friend of the show, Bill Walton, was on the call. And this is what transpired in the final minute of a 10-point Phoenix Sun win.
Taking the direction from Kobe. And Bryant is fouled by Rajah Bell.
Robert Sarver. From San Diego, the University of Arizona, bought the team from Jerry Colangelo in the vision to somehow acquire Boris Diaw. And when you look at Boris Diaw, what he's done to this franchise, he's changed everything. And as we celebrate his brilliance, and when you talk to Boris Diaw, what a classical human being he is. It was 201 years ago today.
Yeah.
With Beethoven's Symphony No. 3 in E-flat. Which escorted in the age of romanticism in music. And when I look at Boris Diaw, I think of Beethoven and the age of the romantics.
Martin, what baseball player reminds you of Beethoven and the age of the romantics? Because Boris Diaw is basketball. Let's get the other sports.
What I'm more in line to think is that Tim McCarver and Bill Walton need to do a game together. Okay? Because clearly Boris Diaw is like a bird. One of the great athletes of all time. The Frenchman, Boris Diaw. I was looking up to see what accolades. NBA champion, most improved player, the French League Players MVP. Never an all-star.
He was solid.
Right. But for the waxing that went on there.
In a game that featured Kobe Bryant and Steve Nash. To wax poetic on Boris Diaw.
First-round pick of the Atlanta Hawks. Thank you, Wikipedia. I think Mike Tirico needs to call Danny Mac and say, I've been there. I know where you are. I know how this happens. It just happens. That's classic.
Did you watch any of the game last night, football? Any interest?
Excuse me. Very little. Okay. I did. I have Julio Jones on my fan because you guys all want to know who's on my fantasy team. I didn't even know I was facing Chuck Marlowe this week.
I got to say, Martin, I'm disappointed in that. That could have been a thing this week.
Yeah.
Adversaries. We can recap
Monday.
We'll
recap the score, and there's a couple of
Tucker
games that
Martin,
night.
Fantasy football on Get Up.
Rams Raiders Monday, and then there's another game. Let's see, incorporate any of his players. I don't know. We'll talk about it Monday.
That's the end of the day.
That's the end of the day. It's also the end of the week. Thanks to Ricky Prohl being part of the show. That was a lot of fun to talk to him. Don't forget that event Monday. It's not going to be canceled. It's going through. It's at the Four Seasons. It's the Isaac Bruce annual Gridiron Gala. Come on out and join us. IsaacBruce.org. Great food being served, drinks, food, hanging out with all these. In addition to those guys, there's always former Rams in town that are there. But the main event, then, we get up on the stage, tell some stories with Torrey Holt, Ricky Prohl, Isaac Bruce, all in one room, all hanging out together. We also had Jober's Jokes of the Week, Mia Jackson, the comedian, in town. They've got their event, Southtown Pub, from 2 until 8 tomorrow, where the comedians are, they were supposed to be part of the Screw Fest. They ended up over at this. Looking forward to that. And also for the slop, we had Tuna, we had Strick. Oh, boy, did we have fun. Frank continues his world tour through Greece. He's back next Friday. Unbelievable. Next Friday. So when we come back, we should lie to Frank and say, okay, they fired Mike Schilt.
Yep.
Mo resigned. Like, just go through all these.
Cardinals are threatening to move.
Yes, all these fake headlines. and see if we can get Frank to bite. Don't forget, Strix is at 4 o'clock from Schneidhorst. That's Hockey Sense, Hockey and Cocktails. But coming up next, right here on 590 The Fan, it is, in fact, Cocktails and Conversation. Talk to you Monday at 10.